All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. We just ask that you'd help us to be faithful, to be like you. Lord, we just pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Give us words to say and ears to hear them, Father. Just pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to extend greetings to you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just thankful for his goodness and his mercy. That's what I want to talk about this morning, is his mercy. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Here in the Beatitudes, verse 7. It said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Just a quick glance through some of the writings in the early church, and I just skimmed through the concordance there looking for mercy, and I didn't even see it. And I just thought for a moment, just thinking about that how often in our religion and in our getting everything all in order, all of our ducks in a row, we just miss some of the most important things that the Bible talks about. Jesus warned the Pharisees, "Woe unto you, Pharisees! You tithe mint and anise and the different things. You tithe down to the very least little bit of these." And he can say today is, well, you know, we are very careful to get all of our little ducks in a row with Christianity. We don't focus on tithes like the Jewish people did. But today, just like then, we've developed our Christianity to a point where we can have the most minute details down to our Christianity. And you can't be a Christian without this little detail. And Jesus went on to say, but you've forgot love and mercy. I don't know. In other words, kindness. You forgot. You've missed it. You've missed it. We can have all the details down, but if you miss some of these fine little points here that are easily overlooked whenever we try to compile Christianity, if you will, they're mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We talk about forgiveness. Jesus said, if we don't forgive, you cannot be forgiven. These are foundational. And it doesn't matter how swell or how great our Christianity may appear, if we don't have these, we have nothing. I just think of, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I think of, in the Bible, the blind men were sitting by the road. What was their cry? The disciples heard him and they said, "Hush, hush, don't bother him, don't bother him." And these blind men were crying out, and they cried out the more, it said, "Have mercy on us, have mercy on us." And the disciples, "Shh, hush, don't bother him." What was their cry? What was their plea for? "Have mercy on us." And Jesus heard their cry. He heard the cry for mercy. He saw the cry for mercy. Have mercy on us. Jesus got it. He heard it. His disciples didn't. They didn't hear it. They were trying to quiet down those that needed mercy. Just like what I'm talking about. We have religion. It all has that great appearance of Christianity. But do we miss mercy? Are we trying to quiet down mercy? Shh, don't bother him. He don't need to worry about those things. But he stopped. He stopped. Said, what do you need? He saw what was important. Mercy. He didn't miss it like we do. Just the story of the young man this morning that had muscular dystrophy. Terrible disease. Lived his life with a mind just like yours. A mind just like yours, but trapped in a body that wouldn't function. That he couldn't do anything. Had lost, had no more strength than that of a baby. You know, we get so caught up because we can. We can. We can have our health. We can have our strength. We can have our body. We can go do whatever we want to do. And there's people. There's people that are trapped in a body that can't do anything. They think just like you do. They want to do something just like you do. They want to be able to go out and run and play. They want to go out and be able to do something, to accomplish something just like you. But they can't. They're trapped. In a body. There was a lady at the nursing home. She was there for over 40 years. Almost about 45 years. Lived in the nursing home. She couldn't speak. Couldn't talk. Couldn't move herself. But her mind was just like yours. Trapped in that body. Don't you think she'd want to go out and just eat? She couldn't even feed herself. She had to just couldn't tell whether I like something or whether I don't. Somebody sticking something in her mouth is all she could do. Lived there for 45 years in this home. Just incapacitated, but still had her mind. Whenever we think of eternity, we don't know what it's going to be. We don't know what it's going to be like. But can you just imagine just being trapped in your mind, with your mind, just and not be able to do a thing about it except have your mind. Wouldn't that be torment enough? Blessed are the merciful. What I just want to remind us about is, you know, we think of all that we're capable of. We've got our plans. We've got our dreams. We've got our hopes. But can we be merciful? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. You know, I think there's a lot of people that are maybe miss some of the things that we think we have to have. That have mercy and forgiveness. And have real things that will count for eternity. And we have our ducks in a row of a lot of stuff that isn't going to matter one iota in eternity. Blessed are the merciful. You know, if we would set out our lives, if we would set our goal for our lives on eternal things, eternal values, things that will last forever. The Bible talks about eternity. I give you eternal life. Jesus talked about eternal life. What is eternal life? What does it mean? What is he talking about? He's talking about things that will last forever. Things that will mean something forever. We get so caught up because we can in doing everything we want to do. With things that are going to be destroyed. Eternal life is things that are going to be, that are going to pass right through the fire of judgment. Eternal life is made up of things that are going to go right through the fire of judgment. Those are what we need to be building on. All this other stuff won't make it. It won't be worthy of eternal life. It'll just be destroyed. You know, someone in a condition like we've talked about, described pitiful things, people that suffer, people that hurt, you know, that's just put on them. They didn't ask for it. They didn't desire it. They don't want it no more than you do. But they're living in it. The struggle for them, is to accept what has just been thrust upon them. That's hard. To accept what has been thrust upon you. But if they'll get to that place, they can find some measure of rest and peace just by accepting what God has laid on you. You know, there's things that have happened in my life that I had absolutely no control over. It's some of the things that were the worst things in the world that I could ever desire just laid on. And you know, I was helpless to do anything about it. Some of the things that come at us, we're just completely helpless to fight it. I mean, I fancy myself as someone being able to take care of myself and being able to do things, being able to overcome. But there's things in my life, there's situations in my life that have been thrust upon me that I was absolutely helpless. I remember one time I went to pick up my children and I was met with just hostility. Because I didn't do it right. They told me the wrong plans. And I mean, just made to be demonized in front of my children. And I felt just like, you know, have you ever been driving down the road and you see a squirrel in the middle of the road? And you see him start one direction. And you think, oh, he's going. And then he stops and he turns around and he goes back the other way. And oh no. And then he stops and he would go back and forth. Don't know where to go. And so he just goes back and forth until he sometimes gets run over. That's just exactly the way I felt. Because I didn't know what to do in this situation. I saw things just crumbling with the relationship with my children right in front of me. And I didn't know what to do. Helpless. Because it was just thrust upon me. The only thing I can do is resolve to take what comes. Thy will be done, Lord. I don't understand it. I don't like it, but I'm helpless. I can only apply to your mercy for this. I can only appeal to your mercy because there's nothing I can do about it. That's the hope of someone that is put in a situation like that. Just simply appealing to the Lord's mercy. These blind men, Lord, have mercy upon us. And have their trust that the only hope that they have is to completely give it to the Lord. And someone who has had something thrust upon them like this many times can just find their resolve and they can actually put their trust in the Lord. Not many of them do. Many of them get bitter. Many of them get angry. Many of them just get hateful. Instead of allowing the thing that has come upon them to make them a better person, they become bitter, angry. They turn against God. They blame God for all of this that's come upon them. They hate God. They despise Him. But some just say, Lord, I don't understand it all. I don't know it all. But this is where I am right now. This is where I am right now. And all I have to do is go through it. And I'm going to appeal to your mercy. I'm going to appeal to your goodness. That the only hope that I have is that you're good and you're merciful. And in the end, when all of the rest is taken away, that will survive. And I'm going to cling to that. That's one thing. To have this thrust upon us. And a few find their way through that. That we don't have anything to do in this life except be useless as far as the world is concerned. Just be helpless as far as the world is concerned. And the only thing I can have is a good attitude about it. The only help, the only sunshine, the only joy that I can share, the only people I can help is the ones I come in contact with, that I can still be happy with what's happened. That I still have something to thank the Lord about through all of this. That's one side of it. But then we have people who don't have major problems like that. Who've got it all together. Got their strength, their health, everything in the world. Everything going for them. Got plans, hopes, dreams. And we're called to deny everything that we might accomplish. That we might be merciful. That we might remember those who have no choice. You know, it's one thing to accept what comes upon us. But it's a whole other thing that when we have something to offer, we have opportunities. We have all of this, the world at our fingertips, to deny it. To deny ourselves. That's when it gets hard. That's when it gets hard. Why would I allow my opportunities to go to waste? You know, the world scoffs at that. You could have done this. You could have done that. You could have this. You could have a happy life. You could have everything you want. You could have it. That's when it gets hard to say, I'm going to praise the Lord anyway. I'm going to deny myself. And I'm going to follow Him. I still need the same amount of mercy that those people have. That's what it means whenever the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't mean, oh, we're just all hopeless and helpless, that all we can do is just ask God to forgive us and He'll just let it. We're all in the same boat. We all have a mountain. No matter whether we're in a wheelchair or whether we're the strongest young person that there is, there's a mountain to overcome, to forsake ourselves, to deny ourselves, and to appeal to the mercy of the Lord. How do we be like Jesus? Do we hush those that are crying out for mercy? Or do we go to them like He did? He knew our state. He knew our condition. We're blinded to it so often. We're blinded to it so often. But He knew it. Because He was mercy. He was full of mercy. This is who He was. Religion drowns mercy. Religion drowns it. Christianity, if it's anything, it's what Jesus talked about. His kingdom is not those outward things. Yeah, sure, we go ahead and do them. We go ahead and do them. But His kingdom is, whenever we talk about the kingdom of God, what's in the kingdom of God? Mercy, goodness, kindness, all of those things. Not strict religion. Not just doing everything just right and not caring about everybody, anybody else, not having mercy. It's not about me having everything. That is so selfish. It's about reaching out of ourselves. Reaching to people. Reaching to that person. Reaching to the people that don't fit the mold. Merciful. It's being patient with people that you think ought to know better. Merciful. Being merciful. It's being patient with people who ought to have it all figured out. Being merciful is being able to work with people that have all kinds of flaws, all kinds of weaknesses themselves. And they don't see them a lot of times. I mean, the only thing that makes this work is being merciful. I've been around people, a lot of people, and you have too. And the more you're around people, you know, they say beauty. Well, let me see. How's this go? Familiarity is the friend of the homely or the ugly. And familiarity is the enemy of beauty. The closer you get to someone that's ugly, the more you begin to get familiar with that, and it doesn't hurt you anymore. And you begin to see the good things. But the more you're around something beautiful, the more you begin to see the flaws. The beauty kind of wears off and you begin to see the flaws. The closer we become together and we see the beauty of Christianity, you begin to see the flaws in each other. You begin to see little holes here. And we can bite and devour one another over those little flaws. We can do like what many people say, oh, I've got to correct everybody's flaws. I've got to correct this. Or we can be merciful and let those flaws make me a better person, a more patient person, a more merciful person. Or we can start cutting off all the little flaws. You know what? When we start cutting off the flaws, whenever it's all said and done, there won't be nothing left. And we'll find ourselves cut off the same way. That's not what Jesus came to do. He came to redeem us. And we all need it. We all need it. He came to redeem us, not cut us off. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall find mercy. Father, we come before you and we thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Help us, Lord, to recognize it, that we might reflect it, Father. Help us to walk in the path that Jesus walked, not in all his religion, not in all his what we would think, Father. You've put us here at this time, God, in this world. Help us, Father, to be faithful. Lord, we think of what Jesus said, "When I return, will I find faith on the earth?" Help us have faith, Father, to truly hear you and truly believe. Forgive us where we fail you. Have mercy upon us. And help us reflect that forgiveness and mercy as you have given it to us. Thank you, Father, for those things you've allowed in our lives that have wrecked us, that has turned us upside down, that has destroyed all of our plans and hopes and dreams. We thank you for them. So we know that whatever you allow in our lives, the lot that you've given us is for our good. Again, we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anyone have anything you want to share?
I was thinking when Jesus healed the 9 lepers, the 10 lepers, and only one came back, how many people that are in bad shape or was in bad shape or in that kind of shape, if they were healed, would really do anything later on for God? I'm sure within the first month or two they would be very excited that they were healed, but I mean, you see it over and over and over. Jailhouse religion, people are down and out, and they're going to follow the Lord, and they're going to do things right. They get out of jail and they do good for 3 or 4 days, and then they're right back doing what they were doing, but you know, they got them in jail.
Right.
And I know for me, it's a lot easier to be in contact, I guess, with God when you're down and out, when you're struggling, when you're trying to change your life. You just seem to have a lot closer relationship. You can, I know we don't go by feelings, but you can feel God a lot stronger when you're struggling than when you're fat and full. You know, and the same thing with the children of Israel. Every single time that they started doing well, they fell away. And then they would get taken captive, they would get slaughtered, they would get dispersed, and then they would come back to God, and over and over and over.
Yeah, it's I had down Paul and Silas. You know, we all they sing songs about Paul and Silas. You know, they got put in jail, and then at midnight they were singing and praising God. And I've often thought of that. You know, well, that's pretty easy, really. You know, for the first few hours to praise the Lord for being in jail, being all tied up. Where are you going to be in 6 months from now, or 6 years from now, or 20 years from now? Are you still going to be praising the Lord? And, I mean, I've been in jail, and it's pretty hard to rejoice the first hour or two, you know. But after you've been there a little while, you know, you could rejoice about it, but when you got to live with something like that, can you still do it? And like Brian brought out, when you get fat and happy and everything going for you, we forget where the Lord's brought us from. We forget His mercy, and we forget to show it.
God is the Father.